Hello, everyone. Today's passage comes from Isaiah chapter 5. It's kind of a long passage today, so I encourage us, if you have your Bible app, let's have it open in front of us. Let's read this together. Again, that's Isaiah chapter 5. I'll read that for us. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones, and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it, and hewed out a wine vat in it, and he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. And the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, an outcry. Woe to those who join house to house, who add field to field, until there is no more room, and you are made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. The Lord of hosts has sworn in my hearing, surely many houses shall be desolate, large and beautiful houses, without inhabitant. For 10 acres of vineyard shall yield but one bath, and a homer of seed shall yield but an ephah. Woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may run after strong drink, who tarry late into the evening as wine inflames them. They have lyre and harp, tambourine and flute and wine at their feasts, but they do not regard the deeds of the Lord, or see the work of his hands. Therefore, my people go into exile for lack of knowledge. Their honored men go hungry, and their multitude is parched with thirst. Therefore, Sheol has enlarged its appetite and opened its mouth beyond measure. And the nobility of Jerusalem and her multitude will go down, her revelers and he who exults in her. Man is humbled, and each one is brought low. And the eyes of the haughty are brought low. But the Lord of hosts is exalted in justice, and the holy God shows himself holy in righteousness. Then shall the lambs graze as in their pasture, and nomads shall eat among the ruins of the rich. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of falsehood, who draw sin as with cart ropes, who say, "Let him be quick, let him speed his work that we may see it. Let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near, and let it come that we may know it." Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink, who acquit the guilty for a bribe and deprive the innocent of his right. Therefore, as the tongue of fire devours the stubble, and as dry grass sinks down in the flame, so their root will be as rottenness, and their blossom go up like dust. For they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts, and have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against his people, and he stretched out his hand against them and struck them, and the mountains quaked, and their corpses were as refuse in the midst of the streets. For all this his anger has not turned away, and his hand is still stretched out still. He will raise a signal for nations far away, and whistle for them from the ends of the earth, and behold, quickly, speedily they come. None is weary, none stumbles, none slumbers or sleeps. Not a waistband is loose, not a sandal strap broken. Their arrows are sharp, all their bows bent. Their horses' hoofs seem like flint, and their wheels like the whirlwind. Their roaring is like a lion. Like young lions they roar. They growl and seize their prey. They carry it off, and none can rescue. They will growl over it on that day, like the growling of the sea. And if one looks to the land, behold, darkness and distress, and the light is darkened by its clouds. Amen. This passage is a warning from God to his people through Isaiah. And from this passage, we can immediately tell that the people of God have turned away from him. It says in verse 2 that the vineyard that God had planted didn't yield normal grapes, but it yielded wild ones. And wild grapes are sour, bitter, and even poisonous. The people of God are clearly not living in the way that God intended them to live, which Isaiah describes in length in this passage. People are greedy with their land and their resources. People are loving to get drunk and to party. People are claiming that their own wisdom is greater than God's, calling evil good and good evil. People are corrupt. They're taking bribes and taking justice away from the innocent. And in response to this evil, God, through Isaiah, he gives them a firm warning and reminder of the wrath of God against these kinds of evil, against sin. And it's no pretty picture by any means. God will judge Judah by taking away their protection and sending foreign nations to quickly overtake them, and that through this, they might turn back to God and cling to him. I think there were a number of things that came to mind when I read and meditated on this passage. The first and most obvious one is the weight and apparentness of our sin. This passage was written specifically towards Jerusalem and Judah at the time of Isaiah, but the same things that are said in this passage can be said about us today, how we've fallen away from God and his ways, relying on our own strength and our wisdom, seeking self-gain and glory over God. This kind of turning away from God is no light topic. Our sin is great, and it is a very high offense to our God. However, we also know that this response to Judah's sin is a temporary measure. God has fully reconciled us back to him through the ultimate atoning work of Christ. Though our sin was great, his mercy is greater. And even though this passage is a heavy one regarding sin and God's wrathful response to it, I actually find it very humbling and encouraging at the same time. Humbling because of how apparent and deep humanity's and my own sin is, but also encouraging because God's heart for us is for us to be with him. And being with him means that we will dwell in a place where all darkness, corruption, pain, evil is totally and completely eradicated. This is God's wrath. When we place our faith in Christ and his atoning work, the fiery wrath of God against sin passes over us, and it, in fact, protects us. Against the wrath of God, evil no longer has a grip on us. So today, I want to encourage us to do two things. One, let's acknowledge the depths of our sin. Maybe some of us have forgotten the magnitude of turning away from God and how much of an offense that really is and how much it breaks the heart of our Father in heaven. Let's ask the Lord to break our hearts at our sin, that our sin might be acknowledged before him and become repulsive to us. So that's the first thing, to acknowledge our sin. Second, let's then remember that though our sin is great, his mercy is greater. It's when we realize the true weight of our sin. I think this passage helps us to do that. That's when the reality of the depths of God's mercy becomes magnified and glorious. The wrath of God that Isaiah talks about in this passage against Judah, this is only a glimpse of what Christ endured on the cross on our behalf. What we should have received because of our rebellion and our sin, he put on himself. So let's give thanks and glory to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this reminder today through this passage of how great and how deep our sin is. We have fallen away from you. We have thought to ourselves that we don't need you. We've relied on ourselves. We've relied on the world. We've sought our own glory. We've taken advantage of the blessings you pour out onto us. So Lord, we ask for forgiveness. Day in and day out, you carefully and intentionally love us and provide us with all the things we need. And yet many times we reject you in our hearts. I pray that you turn our hearts back to you, to remember the cross and to be wholly dedicated to you. Thank you for your grace. And Lord, won't you rebuke us and refine us to become more and more like Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.